gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is worse than waking up with an orange boner? I ask you. Wow. All right.
They make creams for that, you know.
Is there one? Really?
Yes.
For all of America?
Yeah.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What a show we have coming up. Any show we have SpongeBob SquarePants on is a good show.
Yes.
Tom Kenny on the big show today. Only comedians can save us now. And comedian Lewis Black.
That's right.
Also joins us on the big
show
awesome. Today. Yes. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. Why? Because it's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Oh, Chris, you know how wildly popular the show is. You know who couldn't get in, get through on the phones yesterday?
Who?
Rachel Maddow's daddy.
Really? Yeah, the phones exploded yesterday.
Bob says, Steph, I tried several times to get in. I was unsuccessful. We have to give Bob the hotline, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Anyone genetically related to Rachel Maddow goes to the front of the line.
That's right.
So how can the pundits talk about the new wave of people in Congress like it's all fresh faces? Dan Coats and Rob Portman are classic cases of old line inside the Beltway Republican operatives wearing new labels as Tea Party senators. Thank you. Smartness runs in that family. Yeah, didn't you love the boner yesterday talking about the, you know, this was a message to the Republican. I'm like, what? You're a Republican inside the Beltway.
Yes.
It was a repudiation of Washington. Where have you been for the last however many years?
For the last 12 years.
Washington.
Yeah.
He's the problem. Not,
he is
he's
Washington.
Not the solution. It's like, yes, this was an anti-Washington vote is what happened here. We got to get these people out of Washington. It's like, what? What about you?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, you can't call it a Tea Party tsunami when the marquee players like Christine O'Donnell,
yeah.
Joe Miller, Carl Paladino, and
yeah.
whoever else
yeah.
did not win yesterday.
Yes. Yesterday we looked at the silver linings. Today some of the dark linings, however. And let's start with Jesse Zwick. Covers national politics for the Washington Independent. He joins us now. Good morning, Jess.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
No problem, Stephanie.
Well, I want to talk about Citizens United and money and all that. I mean, a lot of stuff to break down from the midterms, don't you think?
Tons. You know, it's really been one of the big focuses ever since January, I think.
Well, I mean, some of the polling, you know, that I looked at, obviously you looked at exit polling too, I'm sure, you know, that is depressing is, you know, A, to some degree, the base stayed home. And to some degree, you know, white people, I mean, I feel like part of it is, you know, the Republicans do appear in the short term to have won some of the politics in terms of, you know, you think these death panels and all the things we knew were lies and ridiculous seem to have resonated, right? I mean...
Yeah, of course. I think another thing that I looked at a lot was just the demographics of people showing up. It's a pretty common trend in midterm elections. The average age of a voter in this cycle was a lot older than it was in 2008.
Right.
Young people really stayed home in large numbers, and they're the ones that overwhelmingly supported Democrats. So I think a big challenge for Democrats in 2012 will be getting those people back to the polls in the same numbers they were in 2008.
Right. I mean, that's the headline I read. Perfect storm for GOP. Obama stays home, white voters defect. And, I, you know, I hate to say it, but in the short term, Jesse, it seems like, you know, some of the out-and-out racism and fear-mongering seems to have worked. And I think even the president acknowledged that yesterday, that it is a little depressing for me this morning to think that he said, you know, we focus so much on the getting stuff done that we didn't focus on the politics, and Republicans focused almost exclusively on the politics of it. And that's what's a little depressing. I think, I don't know if you read Urza Klein, the end of the Do Something Congress. Whatever you think of it, do you know what I mean? Like, they got stuff done, but they didn't do a good enough job letting people know that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely multiple battles going on in Congress, both about, you know, getting legislation passed and also about making sure that it gets communicated well to the American people. And I think that messaging battle about, you know, whether the stimulus effectively did its job, whether health care is going to benefit the average citizen, I think that they had a lot more trouble communicating that than, say, actually passing the bills in Congress, which was actually one of the more productive sessions in Congress in the last several decades. While most, you know, the average American tends to think think that Congress had basically sat on its hands the last 2 years.
Right. Well, because if you don't have a job, right, Jesse, you're thinking, well, I don't care about it, the other stuff they did.
It's true. I think unemployment, I think the president consistently said that the economy and unemployment was probably the biggest factor. I think that a lot of political journalists like to create narratives about specific policies being very unpopular, but I think the economy tends to be probably the biggest driving force in things like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about, because obviously in a lot of places, particularly the Russ Feingold and others, I mean, they got outspent 4-1. So you've been writing about this Citizens United ruling and, how these groups are here to stay and what the Democrats can do to compete. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's really hard to, decipher in a big election with a lot of Republican momentum where spending played a role and where it didn't. I mean,
right.
I think you can see someone like Meg Whitman in California spending as much as she wants and still not winning.
Linda
McMahon as well. But then, you look to a race like Wisconsin where it does seem like Russ Feingold's challenger got a big boost from, I think he was partly a self-funded candidate. And, in general, there were large outside groups that emerged partly as a result of Citizens United taking advantage of some of the new campaign finance landscape that were able to spend a lot of money on the independent side of spending in the election and really sort of give a big boost to Republican challengers in certain races that probably wouldn't have been competitive in a normal year.
I think what we may have learned is that people don't like rich chicks. Maybe that's the only lesson that we can take. But, I mean, Crossroads and Crossroads GPS, this is what you write about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of buzz surrounding the announcement that they will continue advertising against Democrats after the election when Congress returns and debates over extending Bush tax cuts and enacting immigration resumes. It's a bigger prize in 2012, and that's changing the White House, said the chairman of American Crossroads, which is, again, exactly what Mitch McConnell has told us. Our number one priority will be making Obama a one-term president. So they will continue to play politics, and we've got to be prepared now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, when you see a group like Crossroads GPS going now to spend on certain issues like the tax code and other stuff, they're actually going back to what they were actually supposedly incorporated to do. A lot of the outrage during this election cycle were groups like Crossroads GPS who were incorporated under this Section 501C of the tax code, which is for groups that are supposedly trying to benefit the social welfare and whatever vision they see, actually spending so explicitly on electing Republican candidates. Now that they're back to, say, maybe advocate for lower taxes or something like that, it's actually the traditional role that a lot of these groups tended to play, both on the liberal and conservative side. I think what's concerning Democrats is that you've now seen the rise of an infrastructure, mainly with American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS, of very well-connected Republican operatives and former party members, basically really blurring the line between campaigns and issues during the year and trying to create a continuous infrastructure of right-wing spending that will really provide a boost during the next 2 years and maybe also put fire on Democrats when, in a traditional time during a Republican primary, when those candidates would just simply be fighting each other.
Well, Jesse, I think that's the main question I would have is why didn't Democrats compete money-wise and what do we need to do going forward?
It's a really tough question that Democrats in Washington are trying to work out right now. I think in the wake of Citizens United, a lot of Democrats were justifiably upset by the decision and justifiably upset by the influx of money, especially that which was coming in from either corporate or anonymous sources. And they tried in Congress several times this year to pass legislation that would try to at least either curb that kind of money or at least make it more clear where it was coming from.
The Disclose Act.
The Disclose Act was the biggest example
right.
of it, for sure. And it passed in the House, but it failed twice in the Senate, partly because it couldn't garner a single Republican vote. And I think because of the fact that Democrats, the narrative at least is that, because of the fact that Democrats were partly railing against that kind of spending, it definitely made them conflicted when it came to whether or not they should be sort of trying to create their own outside infrastructure of anonymous donors, corporate donors, networks of that sort, when in fact they were partly railing against that system. And it's a big question right now,
right.
I think, among Democrats in Washington. Do they need to sort of arm and create a parallel structure of their own, or can they maybe still try to get something done to curb the influence of that kind of spending before the 2012 elections?
Well, Jesse, and I hate to make this about me, but let's make it about me for a minute.
Yeah.
But, I do think that clearly in the wake of what happened, Democrats on many fronts do have to get it together. And one of them, you know, that I've talked about from my position in radio is that, you know, you probably know this, about, you know, 9% of the stations in the country are progressive. 90% are right wing. But that is part of grabbing the narrative, right? And we have tried to say over and over again, they're not going to bring the fairness doctrine back. Wealthy Democrats need to invest in buy stations. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Most of these right wing stations are owned by right wing people. So, I mean, I think there's a number of playing fields that we need to compete on. And like you say, one of them is money, because we're not, you know, spending anywhere near what the Karl Rove groups are spending.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in all fairness, when you look at overall spending in the election that just occurred, it was relatively on par, because a lot of Democratic incumbents were able to raise money over the last 2 years to help their reelections. I think the thing that really tipped the scales and made Democrats nervous was the amount of it was the fact that very large donations could flow in at the last minute and really make races competitive that at first weren't. It's a new sort of system that's a lot more fluid, and it could benefit liberals now that they're or Democrats now that a lot of them are out of office. It sort of all depends on what kind of enthusiasm gets generated. The amount of money that American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS will spend is totally dependent on whether their activists, their donors, sort of sit on their laurels and look at their accomplishments, or whether they get excited and keep spending in anticipation of 2012. And, you know, I think it really depends on the narrative that both bases form.
Yep. Jesse, thanks so much for taking time for us. Just a lot of prongs to digest from what happened, and we appreciate your take on the money part.
Sure.
We will talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jesse Zwick.
Yes, from the Washington Independent.
Thank you.
No problem.
Indeed. All right, lots to digest. The president's press conference and much more on the midterms as we continue 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I'm not recommending for every future president that they take a shellacking like I did last night.
Stephanie Miller. So the only thing that makes us feel better now is showing he's torturing each other with pictures of our pets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I started it. Look at Max in bed. He's a handsome, romantic man.
I can't believe you wear pajamas with doggies all over them.
Yes, mama's meow. And then you retaliated by showing me a picture of Jazz helping Daddy work.
Yeah, who's a pretty kitty who's helping Daddy work?
Who's helping Daddy print things? Jazz is on top of the printer.
He likes to sleep up there because it's warm.
Oh, isn't that cute?
And then I'm forever picking cat hair out of the printer.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so as we've said all day yesterday, what the fuck up, people? It's not that bad, for God's sakes.
It was hardly a Tea Party tsunami.
Yes, and we didn't lose the Senate. However, Chris, something you've been pointing out for a long time and we've talked about is we clearly have to, you know, it is sad to me, but we got to work on the politics and the PR of it more.
Yes.
Because even the president acknowledged that. And what a sad state of affairs when you think about it for the country, when getting stuff done that we actually sent them there to do stuff is bad politically.
Well, no, the people in D.C. have decided that it is bad politically. I think the people of America, both on the right and the left, think it's good politically.
Well, you have to admit there is a disconnect in the polls when you look at, you know, the large percentages want the things that the Democrats did or tried to do, and yet, you know, we have this result yesterday, obviously. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, large percentages, poll after poll, wanted health care reform with a public option. You know, it didn't go far enough, yada, yada. But it's just, unfortunately, I think in a bad economy, the Republicans clearly won on the fear-mongering, on the politics of a few things. If you look at some of the polling, it's fairly depressing how people voted against their self-interest again.
They're better at getting out the fear-mongering message, though.
Let me define America. I totally did mispronounce that. Ezra Klein. Did I say Urza?
You said Urza to another reporter.
Oh, jeez. Ezra Klein.
Yes.
The end of the do-something Congress. And again, this is not by way of... I mean, obviously, yesterday's over, but I think it is worth noting, as Ezra writes, whatever else you say about the 111th Congress, it got things done. Healthcare reform, the bill... again, you can't say, obviously, we lost on the politics of this. However, the bill projected to cover 32 million Americans, lifting us above 95% insured, while cutting the deficit by $140 billion in the first 10 years, by more after that. Isn't that something we all should have been able to agree upon?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
What the hell are they even talking about repealing it? What, you're going to take health insurance away from those 32 million people?
First of all, they're not going to be able to repeal it. So get that out of your head
I know. It creates competitive insurance markets in every state, ends the days in which insurers can turn you away or jack up your premiums because you have a pre-existing condition. It empowers an independent commission to cut Medicare's costs, begin to ratchet back the tax break for employer-sponsored health care insurance has been the root of many of our system's dysfunctions. This is one of the things that kills me about how they ended up getting older voters.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of their candidates wanted to privatize Social Security and destroy Medicare, you're going, how did you win the politics of that?
Yeah.
Financial regulations. Dodd-Frank did what it set out to do, created a 21st century financial regulation system, blah, blah, blah. Then there was the stimulus, too small? Absolutely. Were there the votes to make it much bigger? Probably not, Ezra writes. Even putting aside the economic relief that the expansions of Medicaid, COBRA, food stamps, tax cuts, and unemployment benefits gave to millions of Americans, or the millions of jobs that the legislation created or saved, there weren't the investments designed to pay dividends down the road. We've begun more than 75,000 infrastructure projects.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked off the digitization of the nation's medical records, made massive investments in green energy, started a Race to the Top program that even conservatives agree is changing the education system, sent billions to the National Institute of Health and more. Those are just the big bills. 111th Congress also passed Ted Kennedy's national service legislation, expansion of the children's health insurance program for 4 million more kids, new regulations on tobacco, Lilly Ledbetter, Fair Pay Act. Blah, blah, blah. Ezra finishes by saying, what's been uncommon about the past 2 years is that the Democrats in Congress managed to put aside enough of their disagreements to get big, important things done, things they really believe would make this country better, things they've been fighting and working for decades to try to do, that this has been the most do-something Congress we've seen in 40 years hasn't made much of an impression on the public. Multiple polls have found only a minority of voters know that the 111th Congress got more done than most Congresses. If they failed as politicians, they succeeded as legislators, and legislating is at least, in theory, what they came to Washington to do. Ezra, thank you. I mean, that may be the sad story of this election. I mean, and this is what the president even said. One of his biggest regrets is a lot of these great people, like Alan Grayson, that came and did, you know,
magnificent work,
the stuff that the people said they, you know, they wanted done,
mm-hmm.
and then they paid a price for it politically. And so I think it really is time to regroup and rethink the politics and the PR of stuff. I mean, I've cited that one poll many times before the election that 8% of us. 8% of the American public know that 95% of us got a tax cut.
That definitely shows that the Democrats have a PR problem.
And once again, let me magically bring it back to
Stephanie Miller.
Another place the Democrats need to invest, you know,
is progressive
media. I think, again, they sort of don't get it, that you can't get that message out. Look, that guy sitting right across at the right-wing station right there.
Yep.
He would tell you when I was on that station right there, I had the same ratings he did.
Yep.
But we're on a lot of the low-power stations, and God bless them. We love them. But more on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, this show will have laughter. Tears. Topless arguments. Infections caused by jacuzzi water.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Ray in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hi, Ray. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, for taking my call. Listen, dear, I wanted to call you this morning. It's the first time I went on your website and saw your photo.
Yes.
I'll tell you, if I were 20 years younger, I'd be all over you like Mitch McConnell on a filibuster. You are gorgeous.
Or a piece of lettuce.
That's
okay.
But that's not the reason I called. I was watching John Boehner the other night crying on television.
Yes. He's a weeper.
And talking about how we're going to get jobs back in the U.S. And, Stephanie, I want to read you something that I found online on the Times of India. Okay, we're talking about India, South Asia, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dateline Washington, and this is September 29th, Washington, D.C. Senate Republicans successively blocked the passage of an anti-offshoring bill that would have denied tax breaks to U.S. companies which move jobs overseas.
Yep.
Now, here's a quote. Several businesses.
Yeah, when he keeps blubbering about where are the jobs, it's where you sent them, you moron.
Exactly. Now, but listen to this. Terming the bill an election gimmick, Republican Senator Orrin Hatch slammed the Democrats for their high irresponsibility that would put U.S. economy at greater risk. What in the heck does that mean? And what is John Boehner going to do to get jobs, manufacturing jobs, back here in the U.S.?
Yeah, well,
it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, maybe he needs to blubber in the mirror, where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? Oh, by the way, Sue in Rockville writes, hi, guys. I ran a preschool for 10 years with 250 little people and have never seen them cry on any given day as much as John Boehner does every time a mic is in front of his face.
Yeah.
So in honor of all the mean Tea Party gals, I just say, man up! Man up, John Boehner! That man needs to man up. Seriously.
You know, I don't think I saw Nancy Pelosi cry once.
No.
She's more of a man than the boner is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not sure that was entirely PC, what I just said. But
no.
All right.
David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You guys. Hey, I believe that a lot of the cable news TV shows have fallen on the job and not helped the Democrats advance the message, you know, for the last 2 years. I mean, they're more focused on drama and giving to people or Congress critters like Mike Pence all the time in the world to lie through his teeth and not call him on it.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. The whole thing we keep saying about there aren't two sets of facts. Let me get on my soapbox briefly again. I don't know why. I'm all fired up because I talked to someone in the radio business for quite some time yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Somebody very prominent, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I understand that this benefits
Stephanie Miller.
However, it also benefits America. Can I just say for one thing? Did you notice that John Boehner was crying about?
What?
Himself.
Yes.
He's not crying about, you know, something that's going to help you. He's crying that he's so happy with the other side, started doing crappy jobs, and now I'm going to be Speaker of the House. That's great for me.
Did he ever have to wear a polyester lederhosen?
Did he ever have to wear a polyester kimono? You and I have worn a lot of polyester on our rise to the... Wherever we are now. Middle, sort of. Anyway.
I've had to put on funny outfits because I'm a morning radio producer.
I know, I'm like, what are you blubbering about? We all had to do crap jobs. Like, what? Oh, you're just so touching. Your story. At my dad's bar.
I had to wear a hot dog outfit and stand on a corner with George Strait tickets.
I mean, I'm thinking he wasn't crying because he's like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for America. And he blots, like, look at me. Oh, my God. Somebody did a great thing about it. It gives hope to orange children everywhere.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Bless their hearts.
That they can have a dream, too. All right. To people of orange color. Just saying. He's the first person of orange color that has been elected to that office.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, my point is, and this is just part of it, but we were talking to Jesse about, you know, the money. Obviously Citizens United, but it is another prong of it. And we bitch about this from time to time, not to talk to inside radio, but people I think get it.
Yeah.
That there's about 10% progressive radio and 90% everything else. And that is part of where I think Democrats got to get back on the ball.
Yep.
And you can't whine about the fairness doctrine. It's not coming back. You got to buy radio stations if you, I mean, because, and I think anybody in the radio business knows this, that a lot of us, me, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, whatever, we've been on, before there was such a thing as progressive radio, I've been on that station right there.
Right next door.
Yes. And have the same ratings they have now, because it should be about entertainment. It should be about and the thing is, many of us are competing in many markets, despite the fact that we're on smaller stations and lower wattage and all that. And
signals that program directors don't care about.
Well, we love the stations we're on, and we thank them.
Sure.
We thank you.
Yes, we do.
However, I'm just saying that's part of the narrative. When you look at this polling, the basic facts the American people don't know, that's part of it. It's part of that. When you realize how many thousands of right-wing stations are there drumming the same lies into people and scaring people, that comes out in the polling.
Yep.
I mean, we keep dismissing. And you're right. Like, we're underestimating. We're like, oh, death, who's going to believe that? Well, obviously seniors in this election didn't believe death panels.
That's right.
Even though it just was a lie, but it was just, and I think radio even more than television, because I think they did, you know, in the wake of Jon Stewart's comments, they did some, you know, numbers crunching. Mm-hmm. Less than 2% of America watches cable television. I think radio, in many ways, is probably more prevalent because it's, you know, 3 hours every day. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a show, and it's yep. 5 days a week, and yada, yada.
And it's more intimate.
Right, but what
because
I'm saying
you're,
is...
you're in the cars with the people.
Yes. That is unsettling to some people right now that I'm in the car with them.
But that's the way listeners
view it. No, but my point is, it is that steady drumbeat of the repeating of lies. I mean, that whole piece I just read, Ezra Klein, I mean, it really is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of stuff this Congress got done. You may disagree with it, but I think that it really was, and it may not have gone far enough, some of the stuff, but it absolutely, you know, was trying to get stuff done for the American people, which is what we send them for. And, you know, I just love this, that, you know, this was a vote against Washington, says John Boehner. I'm like, what? Where have you been?
Yeah.
You've been in Washington.
For 12 years now.
Trying to obstruct everything, you know, that they've tried to get done. So it just, you know, there's so many layers of this that I think, you know, we've got to. And again, you know, the president pointed out yesterday, I mean, Reagan and Clinton sat in exactly the same press conference he did mm-hmm. at midterms, except Clinton's was even worse. He lost the House and the Senate. But, you know, that being said, there's a lot of ways we need to reclaim these issues or reframe them, you know. I mean, it just cracks me up that, of course, you got to say, oh, yes, we'll compromise more.
Yeah.
That's all the president tried to do. And now, I mean, the good news about this is they're going to do something. It's like, okay, Boehner. I mean, maybe he was crying because he's not going to get to play golf 7,000 times a year
yeah.
now.
Because he actually has to do something.
He can't be at Barfi's Bar and Grill at 5 sharp every afternoon. Let's go to Roy in Roseville, Michigan. Sorry, Roy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Roy.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead. Hello, Roy. Yes.
Yes, I'm here. The Democrats need to learn to beat the Republicans at their own game. This didn't have to happen in this election. 6 months ago, Robert Reich, you know, who worked for President Clinton, said, let's have a vacation. Let's take the federal income tax and eliminate it for 6 months to stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
If you put more money in people's pockets, even the Tea Party people, if President Obama and the Democrats had eliminated federal income tax for 6 months, I think this election would have been totally different.
Well, you know, but Roy, again, don't you think part of this is the messaging, is the PR? How is
Absolutely.
It that 8% of the American people, that's all the percentage that know that 95% of us got a tax cut?
Right.
I mean, the president said this. He was so busy, which is a sad commentary. They were so busy doing stuff that we sent them to do, they lost the PR battle.
Yeah.
The president yesterday.
I'm doing a whole lot of reflecting, and I think that there are going to be areas in policy where we're going to have to do a better job. With all that stuff coming at folks fast and furious, a recovery package, what we had to do with respect to the banks, what we had to do with respect to the auto companies, I think people started looking at all this and it felt as if government was getting much more intrusive into people's lives than they were accustomed to.
Here's something you never heard under George Bush. He took direct responsibility. How's about that for
yep.
the frustration voters feel, particularly on the economy? But the other thing, again, here we go, hearing the mandate from the Republicans. Oh, this is a mandate, and this is blah, blah, blah. Here's the other interesting thing in the polling, Chris. People hate Republicans just as much as Democrats.
Yep.
So this was not a vote for Republican policies, and even some Republicans were honest enough to admit that.
Yep.
It was a vote with frustration on the economy, of stuff in Washington in general. And this is what always happens in American politics. People go, oh, well, let's try the other guys then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the problem, the fact that these are the other guys are the guys that have been obstructing everything that has been trying to get done in this country is unsettling. But my point is, if you look at the polls, people didn't go, oh, yes, we really are against Obama's policies and we really want these Republican policies. They were just disgusted
yeah.
with everybody and with the economy. Obama repeatedly refused to say historic Republican gains were a widespread rejection of the policies his administration had pursued. He argued voters were more angry at the lack of progress in crafting effective policies and the perception that business as usual in Washington wasn't changing. We were in such a hurry to get things done, we didn't change how things got done. He promised to work harder to build consensus with Republicans. I'm not sure how he he can do that, but good luck. Yeah. Because I feel like that's all he did. And the fact that, you know, voters to some degree rewarded the people that were trying to stop that, and the Tea Party is still saying no compromise.
Yeah. I'm just worried that he's going to capitulate to what the Republicans want now and not stand up to them.
The president.
The single most important thing I think we need to do economically, and this is something that has to be done during the lame duck session, is making sure that taxes don't go up on middle-class families next year.
All right. One place we do know our radio show is heard is in the White House, and a lot of people lined up to give the president advice 45 minutes after the hour. Think of me as the Commissioner Gordon hotline to the president.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
You're right, it is funny.
Yeah, it is. You were worried.
Okay, it is what the has Obama done so far.com.
Yes.
And you go to the website, it says, what the has Obama done so far? Added $4.6 billion USD to the Veterans Administration budget to recruit and retain more mental health professionals. Big deal. What else? And then you can click on what else. Okay, let's click and see. Significantly increased funding for the Violence Against Women Act. Big deal. What else? Okay, you can click again. Is this an adjunct to where is my pollingplace.com?
I don't know. I think they're separate entities, actually.
Okay. Let's go to Jill in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah, you started off the show by asking what could be worse than waking up with an orange boner?
Yes.
Waking up with a weepy orange boner.
Yes, that's true.
Oh.
Sorry, Chris.
It could be hormonal.
Oh.
It could be a testosterone
no,
thing.
No, I think... She was...
Oh, well, yeah. Like an infection. Well, yeah. It is like an infection we have to get rid of in a couple of years.
Okay.
Okay, that's a long infection.
Yeah.
Oof. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie and everybody there. How are you today?
Good.
Listen, I have a great idea. I think we ought to call the Republicans bluff. They've been claiming that Washington hasn't been listening and that now they're going to listen, which we all know is a big lie because they're just going to continue what they're doing. But I think we ought to call every single Republican's office and say no to Citizens United, no to obstruction, no to privatization, no to baseless investigations, and demand they vote yes on the Disclose Act. I think we ought to call them every day and then challenge them to do what we're telling them to do.
Yeah, well, they won't do that. But...
No, they're not going to do that.
Thanks
but,
for your
then,
thought.
You know, the lie is even more obvious, which isn't going to help with the teetards who don't have enough brain cells to figure that out anyway.
Oh, dear. All right. Okay.
I am really finding out that they get really tetchy when you call them teabaggers.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Wow, are they tetchy.
Yes, they are.
By the way, so that's going to be interesting, as we talked about, and entertaining to watch the war between the Republicans and the teabaggers.
Yes.
Because, you know, what's her name? Oh, God.
What?
We are not done with the Caribou Barbie. You know, they already are signaling, like, no compromise on anything. I mean, and if this election meant anything, that's what it was, is get some stuff done, compromise. I mean, the one thing a lot of analysts are saying, Chris, is this does put pressure on both sides.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't think people sent, you know, people to Washington to get nothing done. So that's why. So what are you going to do? Are you good? I mean, if they continue to obstruct the way they have been, all right. The president yesterday.
We want you to work harder to arrive at consensus. We want you to focus completely on jobs and the economy and growing it.
Obama repeatedly cited energy reform and education as possible areas of common ground. When asked about health care reform, though, he said he was willing to entertain efforts to tweak the law, he would not cede any major ground. He said we'd be misreading the election if we thought the American people would want us to see us for the next 2 years relitigate the arguments we had for the last 2 years. he also said the toughest thing was bidding goodbye to really terrific public servants who were forced out in Tuesday's vote. He says he worries he didn't do enough to help his congressional allies. And I think that is part of the postmortem that we do have to talk about, as you said, Chris. It's a shame that it almost like the reason they got so much done in that Congress is because they didn't bother with the politics. And now you're like, oh, well, I guess you do have to.
You do have to.
And the Republicans played just a solid wall of politics and, you know, certainly on some fronts won with that, which is, you know, depressing.
But it's the political fact, unfortunately.
Yes. Tom in North Hollywood with some advice for the president. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
I got a comment and a question and a comment, actually.
Okay.
Everyone knows that O'Donnell is a witch, but nobody knows about all these accomplishments that President Obama has done. Now, my question is, do you think that we in progressive media do ourselves a disservice by constantly talking about their talking points, constantly repeating what it is, because no publicity is bad publicity. We keep on repeating the Republican points over and over and over again, and they already own 80, 90% of the media. That why are we not focusing on, I don't know, maybe we have to be outrageous or something like that on the left in order to, you know, get that microphone or be able to get our message out more and more and more. I mean, I don't
know
how there
is you know, I'm sorry, but there is a difference, and I hate to put it that starkly, but right-wing radio, they lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and be
very clear. This is entertainment. We're here to get ratings and sell stuff. So, you know, neither side should really be a political movement. But the point is, you know, yeah, I could I be bigger if I lied as much as Ann Coulter does and said outrageous stuff? Maybe. But that's kind of not what we do. You know, if you watch,
well,
you know, Rachel Maddow or Ed Schultz, or
we can make entertainment out of President Obama's accomplishments somehow. So at
right.
least that gets
well. This is why
attention.
What the. Has Obama done so far.com is entertaining and yet informative. And that's what, yeah,
right.
I think that's what we have to try and do. But, you know, the difference, that's all I'm saying, is that, you know, Rush Limbaugh knows there are no death panels. That didn't stop
right.
him from repeating it for 2 years.
But the low
and scaring old people.
But the low information voter out there hears that. Just the word death panel,
right.
And all of a sudden they think it really is true.
Yes, and all of the old white seniors on the, what is he, on 600 radio stations?
Yep.
People told me you drive across the country, you will never lose Rush Limbaugh. You can hear him on air, I mean, anywhere. And, you know.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, and that's part of it. Okay, let's. Maybe I need to do that more. Okay, Dan.
Yeah, that'll help. That'll get ratings.
Dan in Pennsylvania. Hello. Hi, Dan. All right,
Dan needs to turn off his radio.
Your radio down. Steve in L.A. Hi, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I think the problem with Obama is if I hear him say compromise one more time, I'll scream. You do not compromise with cockroaches. You don't try to reason with them. Republicans are cockroaches. They'll swarm all over you.
I do.
What happened.
Yeah, Steve, I do hate to say it, but, you know, the fact that I'm sure they looked at the polling about how the rights succeeded in scaring white people, I suppose the president had to make sure he didn't look too uppity yesterday. He had to look, very chastened by the whole thing.
Chris, humbled. Chris is right. It's not going to work. You can't compromise with these people.
Well, but what do you do? So what do you do now? We already have been dealing with solid obstructions, and now what do you do when the House is Republican?
It's like what you do with a cockroach. You destroy them before they destroy you.
And how do we do that?
By any means necessary.
Cedarside.com. That's what I recommend. All right. Could I sneak into Congress and Cedarside, please? I'm just saying.
Cedarside makes a fogger, right?
Yes.
Okay, you could do that.
Can I fog just the Republican side?
No. Unfortunately not. It's not. The House of Representatives is not built that way.
Okay. It doesn't, see, and it's not a threat. It's not violence. They just go somewhere else.
They scatter.
Like rats. That's what Cedarside does. It confuses them, and they go somewhere else. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good.
is the Stephanie Miller Show. Got to laugh or you cry all day. Guess what?
What?
We have SpongeBob SquarePants coming up.
Yes.
Tom Kenny, speaking of laughing.
It's the best day ever.
It's the best day ever. It really is. He has a... You know, his and he has his yearly song, Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas.
Yes, which I think was originally called Don't Be a...
It's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Where's the mail organ?
What does Urza Klein think about that?
Trash!
Well, you must have seen him on the Virtual Murdo Show or Lorenzo Dernal.
Hi, Jim! Okay, Stephanie...
You've been sufficiently chastened. It's all right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he just writes that. He just he listens on the way to work, and he writes down the things that he needs to mock me for when he gets here.
Ezra Klein is kind of famous. You really should know how to pronounce
Comedian Lewis Black coming up next hour as well.
Haven't heard of the band Better Than Urza?
StephanieMiller.com.
Ezra
is, the,
is a very popular biblical name. Yes. Urza doesn't exist in any human language.
You can email the punctuation police there or me, Stephanie Miller.
Aww.
And if you would like me in different form, a powder, tablet, on the internets, you can either go to StephanieMiller.com or check this out. Mama's on the cover of the new Talkers magazine.
Hey, how about that?
Why? Well, there's other people on the cover.
Whatever.
On the cover of the Rolling
Stone. I have offered sex for a single cover, and we'll see if...
really?
Yes. Michael Harrison takes me up on it. Hmm. However, the Talk Rumble is an exciting new internet television show on Podjockey. It's at podjockey.com. You can watch
Is that what you are? What you do?
Me arguing with right-wing asshats on the Talk Rumble. So go to podjockey.com. Oh, I believe in /Talk Rumble, how you can get to it quicker. All right. So there. Oh, by the way.
And there's a link to it on your Facebook page and on your Twitter feed.
Of course there is. I got up early to tweet that.
No, you did it yesterday afternoon.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yes.
I'm duly chastened. All right. Hey, guess who I think is a fan of?
Stephanie Miller.
Roseanne Cash.
Hey.
Really?
Did you see this?
You're getting in tight with the country.
Well, I don't know for sure. But she used an official term of the Stephanie Miller Show in a tweet to the boner. Jim, have you ever woken up with an orange boner? Because that's a...
Not orange, no.
Have you an incident with Tang or anything?
Not a weeping orange boner. No.
That's... Yikes.
Well, that's normal boner, with a teenager. Not the orange part. But.
He has a little joke he does with the campaign trail where he says, remember when Ronald Reagan was president, we had Bob Hope, we had Johnny Cash. Think about where we are today. We have President Obama. We have no hope and no cash.
God.
So Roseanne Cash tweeted, John Boner, stop using my dad's name as a punchline, you asshat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, the word asshat was first used in the movie Office Space, I believe.
Oh. I've seen it on German YouTube videos as well.
Okay.
I've heard it mostly on
Stephanie Miller.
Because we use it the most.
I'm just saying. Speaking of me and my career, Carol writes, Steph, I imagine a new TV show with Miller and Grayson. Oh, boy, showtime. I'm not saying we're any Parker Spitzer.
Hmm. Is that who you are or what you do?
But Miller, Grayson, think
Miller
about
Grayson.
It.
Hmm? Yeah.
Hmm?
Not quite the balance that Parker Spitzer has, though. You're both kind of to the left of center.
So? We're entertaining.
Okay. Yes, you are. That you are.
Joanne from Boston. Steph, hey, Boner, where's my pony that farts glitter and where are the jobs? It's been over 12 hours, you tan sack of crap.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know where they are. China, India.
Yes, exactly.
Burkina Faso.
I haven't played this in a while.
What?
Oh, there it is.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, steaming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Bing, 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 bing. Okay. Wow, I haven't played quite some time.
You lost it for a second?
I got lost in my own box there for a moment. All right, let's... Don't throwing a hot dog down a hallway. Broomstick in a garbage can.
Well, we know
can.
That's not true.
Don't. Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Steph.
I just wanted to talk to another dick right now because I'm sick of...
Oh.
Go ahead, Richard.
Richard, I can't...
Richard.
I can't wait for the boner to tell everybody, he and Yertle the Turtle, that we're going to be in a situation to get our jobs back. We're going to have to go to war with Iran. You know, we got sidetracked when Obama was elected, and that's what they had wanted to do all along, and we just didn't have the ability to do it. But once they get ahead of steam up, that's what they're going to be telling us we have to do.
Yep.
Did David Broder have some sort of brain event or something? What the hell was that all about?
What did he say?
Well, that's what he said. He said we need to go to war with Iran to buck up the economy. Forget all this.
Ah. Yeah. Anything else is sort of a half measure. Mm-hmm. Gotta, you know,
maybe he's
all
kidding.
The way. Kidding? Funny? I don't know.
No.
You know what I like to say, just to just because I know it still irritates the bejesus out of them more than anything, and that is Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. You know, Senate Majority. Oh, did you know we still have a majority? And Harry Reid.
I don't think I've ever seen Harry Reid cry on camera.
No.
I like the voter.
No.
I used to have to work a job.
Maybe he needs to instruct John Boehner on how to man up.
I had to do stuff where I got paid a little bit to do actual work.
Harry Reid's been punched in the face repeatedly.
That's true.
I don't think John Boehner has ever been punched in the face.
No, and then he'd have something to cry about.
That's right.
I'll give you something to cry about.
By the way, did I also mention that Harry Reid won by a much wider margin than anyone
expected?
Yes.
Just think if the chicken lady had run, then that would be even lighter.
Senator Harry Reid.
I'm hopeful and confident that when the dust settles, the Republicans will no longer want to stop everything, and we'll work together.
Nope.
And what
not
would you
happen.
Be basing that hope on, exactly?
Yeah, and it's kind of made me sick that Obama's saying that during the lame duck session, we should work with the Republicans and talk. No! Now's the time to get stuff done that you couldn't before. Lame duck session. That's
why,
the end of it.
That's why God created the lame duck session.
He did mention don't ask, don't tell during the lame duck. The president did bring that up. Let's hope. I don't know.
Because it ain't going to be done with a Republican majority House. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
Yeah, here's another thing why I don't get when we have 75% of the American people that are for something. If not now, when exactly should we try to get something done that the American people actually
I just
say
don't
they want?
I think he has it in him to fight like that. I think he's, you know, he's too conciliatory.
He had to, as I said, look, you know, not uppity anymore. Here are the not-so-fun facts. Perfect storm for GOP. Obama stays home. White voters defect. Because, you know, that's the thing that's depressing, Jim. You kind of go, wow, there's a bunch of racists on the right this time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Tea Party. We aren't that racist a country, are we? And maybe in this cycle.
Well, they keep saying we're a center-right country. Center-right.
Oh,
right,
the Tea Party
right,
says
right,
they're
right,
the center. They're the center.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. According to Rachel Maddow last night, the head of Tea Party Patriots or something like that said, yeah, we're the new center. If they're the center, what is the right-wing wacko?
Wow, we.
Brown shirts.
Wow.
Remember when Karl Rove said the Bush is the center?
Yeah.
That was the center.
Maybe Rich Iatt won't be the only one in an SS uniform.
Yeah.
I'm falling off the ledge to the right of Himmler now, if that's where he... Holy moly, what's happening with the country?
The creamy caramel-filled center.
The portions of the electorate that remained loyal to President Obama, Democrats, particularly minority voters and young people, did not show up anywhere near the numbers they did in 2008. Democratic candidates suffered crippling defections among white voters, particularly independent seniors and those without a college education.
Is it alarming that I know the lyrics to the host message?
Yes, it really is
disturbing, according to exit polls. Young people...
Yeah, Newsbusters is going to be all over that. Yeah. Great, thanks.
See? Liberals are Nazis. There's your proof right there.
We're just trying to be the new center. It's springtime for us. Young people cast 18% of the votes in 2008, dropped to just 11%. 2 years ago, minorities cast 26% of all ballots. This year, the number fell to 22%. Meanwhile, seniors who... people voting against their self-interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, education, Pell Grants, I mean, you pick... health care, Medicare, Social Security. I mean, okay. Seniors, the seniors who represented 1/6 of voters in 2008 soared to fully 22%. So they did succeed in scaring old people this time. 3/5 of them backed Republican candidates. Among white seniors, that rose to over 3/5. Overall, national exit polling preferences in House races put the Republican vote among whites at a jaw-dropping 60%, which is what we said, Tea Party, old white people.
Yep.
Kameraden,
you're giving more tape to Newsbusters. Stop it.
Let them buy the podcast.
Yes. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Democratic candidates attracted only about 35% of the vote among white men and women without a college education. The only segment of the white electorate that didn't collapse for Democrats, college-educated white women.
Uh-huh.
The stampede toward the GOP among blue-collar whites was powerful almost everywhere across the heartland, as you would say.
Damn it! Why'd we give them the right to vote? Well, who green-lighted that? Damn it!
But along the coast, Delaware, Connecticut, California, Democrats did a better job of holding college whites, especially women. That was critical to their Senate victory in those states.
No, you don't have to vote. Just make me a sandwich and look pretty.
This isn't Mad Men.
It is for him. It is every day for Squeezy. Particularly when he needs a pad of some sort to write his little skits on.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Now I'm going to be picturing
don't act
Christina.
Like you like it.
I'll be picturing Christina Hendricks every time we play that right now. So.
And her rather large rack.
I think they pad her a bit.
No, sure. No, she her boobs really aren't that big. Mm. Yes. You don't watch the show, do you, Stephanie?
We'll be right back with more boob talk. 17 minutes after the hour.
She's kind of well known for that on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim Ward is over there doing car talk. I'm doing the Stephanie Miller Show. The Camaro,
it turns out, is a very reliable car now.
And American made.
With Honda.
That's
why
you used to get a Camaro, because it was unreliable and sexy.
Right.
It was reliable at helping you
get to third base or beyond. But not so much.
I wonder if that was from the auto bailout. Suddenly, the auto
communist
industry.
Communist auto bailout? Making businesses profitable. What a commie.
By the way, attention old white people. Think Progress has been tracking tentherism. The radical view of pretty much everything the federal government does is unconstitutional. Shockingly large number of the GOP Senate candidates this cycle embraced tentherism.
Huh.
See how you like your vote, Grandma, when Social Security check isn't coming anymore. Just saying. Rand Paul, tenther.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Although a lot of the tenthers got thumped. Joe Miller, Ken Buck, and Sharon Angle.
Well, so, we still don't know about that write-in vote. We don't know what's happening exactly.
Well, it's still looking pretty good. You know, they're determining all of the different spellings of Murkowski right now. You know, and like Bill Press said this morning, it ain't a spelling bee. So, you know, if you spell it slightly wrong, that's fine.
Try spelling it. Spelling it in Cyrillic. See if anyone can figure that one out.
Well, it did used to be a part of Russia.
Chris in Yankton says, seriously, can you compromise or be bipartisan with a toddler throwing a screaming fit in the Walmart parking lot? What would compromise even mean? Giving the screaming bratty toddler everything he wants? That's not compromise. Beyond that, it's bad parenting, rewarding bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Plus, you're showing everyone else in the Walmart parking lot the screaming bratty toddler runs your family.
So yep,
that's
exactly.
Thoughts on compromising.
I used to have to work for a living. I had an actual job.
Mm. How unusual.
Mm. Oh, pity me. Oh.
I'll bet you he never had to wear polyester as a part of his
job.
Take that.
And I think when it comes to the financial services bill and the 358 regulatory filings required under that bill, that is going to require a significant amount of oversight. Mm. So that not only will the Congress understand, but the American people understand just what this bill will do to our financial services industry.
Yes.
Who needs regulation?
Exactly.
Let the banks run everything. They've done so well for themselves in the past.
Yeah, they take such good care of the American people.
It's oil companies. They don't need regulation.
Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
Ken in Cleveland. Hi, Ken.
Well, hello, everybody. I wanted to pick up on what you were talking about, how the teabaggers don't like to be called teabaggers.
No.
Once they found out what it meant.
Yeah, I got into some huge fights with some teabaggers on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
On Facebook, and it kind of shows their maturity level, too.
Yep.
And I got into an argument with one of them, and in the same sentence, he's like, don't call me a teabagger. We're going to repeal Obamacare. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't use Obamacare if I can't use teabagger? He's like, well, I can't, you know, I can't shorten. What do I have to say, you know, HCR? And I was like, well, no, you can say Obamacare if you want, if I can say teabagger, because, you know, instead of saying Tea Party person, you know, teabagger just rolls off the tongue so much better.
So to speak.
Well, I mean.
See what I did there?
Yes, see what you did there? All right, thank you. You got into an argument with who?
Oh, a whole slew of teabaggers on Twitter yesterday. One of them works for Newsbusters, actually. One of them accused me of just being drunk and ended the debate there. And I'm like, okay, so that's how you end a debate, is just by accusing the other person of being drunk. Great debating skills. Where'd you learn that?
Thinking of boner.
I get that all the time.
But you are.
With me. Yeah. It's true.
You're
but
usually
I'm just
drunk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amy in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, sorry. I just wanted you to know, first of all, that you're the first person I wanted to talk to today since we had to put our little dog Schroeder down here.
Oh,
today.
My God.
I'm so sorry. Oy.
And so you're the one that's making me laugh this morning.
Aww.
So he was a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He is.
Yeah, my next-door neighbor, boy band, had to put his dog down. And it's that's the bipartisan. That's where we can compromise, is we all love our pets.
We love our babies.
Except for Michael Vick.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead, Amy.
I might get started there. Yeah. Two thoughts. So I didn't pay any attention to the elections on Tuesday or Wednesday because I was keeping vigil. And then I wake up from my own mental sick this morning, and I'm like, holy crap, what happened? And so there's just this cognitive dissonance that I just do not understand, and this battle is going to be won house by house by
house.
Let
me explain, because a lot of the people that voted do not know what cognitive dissonance means. That's the problem.
It's like, cognitive dissonance is where you're staring at, you're getting an F in a course, and the student thinks that they're getting an A. And they're just like, no, it's going to be fine. No, you're failing the course, okay? So it seems to me that part of it is going to have to be, you know, getting in people's faces and saying, this is the truth.
And you know what, Amy, right-wingers listening to this conversation go, oh, see, there you are again, snooty, elitist, you're calling people stupid, Americans stupid. And, you know, I think Bill Clinton is one of the people that helped reframe this. And I don't know, I don't know how. It's just trying to make people understand basic facts. And we do have to do a better job of that.
Yes, we do. But
I mean, because that's all I'm saying. It's not saying you're stupid. It's just going, you are voting against your own best interests. Here are the facts. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with SpongeBob SquarePants, Tom Kenny, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller,
the worst person who ever lived.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, now that John Boner's in charge, I'm sure I'm going to get that unicorn that farts glitter for Christmas. Why, it's all... Christmas is coming.
Ahoy, everybody. SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's a thing to do, but the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. There's a sign above the line that says express. That means 10 items or less. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas. Be nice to babies and animals, old folks too. That's how you'd like them to treat you. Use turn signals, don't scream my call. Don't you wreck the house when you deck the hall. If you're done where it won't wind up on my shoe, squeeze toothpaste from the bottom of the tube. Don't be a jerk.
Jerk was the original word.
No. In fact, we talked about that last time Tom Kenny was on.
Did he actually record Don't Be a It's Christmas? I don't recall, but we will ask him.
I don't think he only Nickelodeon sings it that would way have green-lighted that.
He only sings it that way at parties.
Yeah. All right. Or during commercial breaks on nationally syndicated radio shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we are still locating SpongeBob.
Yes.
He's at the bottom of the sea.
Exactly. Maybe our waterproof microphone is on the fridge this morning. We are currently locating him, and we will be back with SpongeBob in just a moment. Tad in Chicago, and your name is actually Tad and not Todd, right?
It's Tad, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Tad.
Hello. You know, I thought you guys had a terrific idea, even though you were just goofing around the other day, and I thought, I have to call in because you were kidding around about a coffee party. Well, let's start one. Let's start going around the country in groups and protesting these Republican candidates with the facts.
And
yeah.
Stay up all night doing it.
Yes. I don't like tea myself. I'm a coffee girl. Yeah.
No, but I thought that was a fabulous idea. I mean, they're going around spreading lies. And speaking of which, I'd like to know if Boner's got a birth certificate.
Yeah, what orange country do you come from, I wonder? Person of color. Wally in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wally. Hello. Did I do that wrong? Wally, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I got a real quick question before I make my point. If the Dems are still in charge of the Senate, will they be able to do away with the filibuster rule now?
During the lame duck session?
Well, yeah, isn't the obvious problem, Wally, that then the Republicans don't have to, you know what I'm saying, if you change the rule now?
Yeah, but we're not going to get anything done with the way it is.
Wally, I heard someone ask this question yesterday. Jim, what's your take on that? Because that's what somebody was saying, is can't Harry Reid change the filibuster rule and get through all those? Because the House passed a lot of good bills that could presumably get through the Senate. But then what? Then now the Republicans don't need 60 either, right? Or whatever the...
But as long as we stay in the majority, we'll be in good shape.
But we can get a lot of stuff done during the lame duck session if we didn't
have it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, let me make my point real fast. Boner said in his acceptance speech that now we're going to listen to the American people. So that means don't ask, don't tell will be repealed. We're going to have single payer.
Yes.
We're going to do away with shipping jobs overseas.
Is there more journalism on this show than on any network television show? Why do the American people want a health care plan with a public option or, you know, single payer, whatever the polling shows?
Those are the wrong American people. I don't talk to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys who are still working actual jobs.
Yes.
That I used to do. I had no dividend income at all.
By the way, most American people are crying because they don't have a job. Well, you're up there blubbering about jobs.
I didn't actually work at a job.
It was a job that his daddy got him.
God.
Yeah, it is father's boss.
Yes.
Yeah, boo-boo.
I remember when I was a little drunk. I was a baby drunk.
And that's where he first got his love affair with the Rob Roy.
Exactly. That's where he fell in love with his first rusty nail.
He used to work in a tavern. I bet you didn't know that.
No, would never have guessed that.
No. So, when I go to the tavern, it's just for old time's sake.
The
single most important thing I think we need to do economically, and this is something that has to be done during the lame duck session.
Wait, this is not, I'm looking for the boner.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That was like, wait a minute, that sounds too reasonable. That sounds like the president, the
boner.
We
have to do everything we can to try to repeal this bill and replace it with common sense reforms that will bring down the cost of health insurance.
Ah.
That's exactly what it does.
Yes.
But they talk about repealing it and then putting in all the good parts.
Yes. That are already there.
Yeah, that are already there.
Yes.
And claim it as their own.
All right. Hey, we found Tom Kenny, everybody. I read on the internet he was dead. So maybe I thought that's what happened. Tom Kenny, you're alive.
Hey, yes, I am alive. Wow. Are you telling me that John Boehner had an affair with the Scottish highwayman Rob Roy?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be something?
That's the rumor I'm spreading.
Let's get that on the internet.
Wow. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was dead over the weekend, Steph. Has that ever happened to you?
All right. I'll cop to it. I spread it this time because you didn't show up to my birthday party. So I just was like, all right.
I know. But I was doing a charity thing for the kids. When my wife and I responded to your Evite and we wrote what we thought was a hilarious email where we just listed all our food allergies, and I'm like, you know what, Stephanie, there are people in LA that are actually this dickish that they probably would go, I don't want any peanuts and I'm allergic and I don't eat meat and I'm a vegan and
yeah, I've been at one of my best friends is no wheat, no dairy, no sugar, no this, no that, no alcohol, no carbonation, and she smokes, which is always the punchline.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, I only smoke. Never mind. I'm
not I only eat inorganic compounds. Nothing that was ever alive.
That's right.
Tom Kenny, this is the second time you've been killed more than Kenny from South Park, actually.
I didn't realize that there was a first time. I was riding the little spooky Halloween train on Saturday with my wife and kids in Griffith Park, and started getting all these, you know, "Dude, are you dead?" calls.
Right.
And,
wow. Right.
Actually, the cryptic messages are the scariest, because it's like, "Hey man, it's Andy. Are you aware of all the rumors that are flying around Twitter about you? You're the third most searched Google searched thing in the world. Give me a call." And then you're going, "Oh my God, what is the rumor?" And then when you find out that it's only that you're dead, it's a relief.
Call the red boy. What?
Let's not even.
And then you start getting paranoid, going, "You know, maybe I am dead, and I just don't know it."
The
sixth sense.
Yes, you're Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Wait, there was never a red handle there before? What the?
Wait a minute.
Hey.
My wife and kids are acting like I'm not there, but that's pretty much business as usual.
And let's not talk about how counterintuitive for someone to ask you, "Are you dead?" as if you could answer if the answer.
Exactly. Well, Stephanie, again, I don't know if you've ever been counted out on the internet, but one of the fun things is that Tom Sawyer moment where you get to hang out at your own funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was getting all Boehner, with it, going, "You know what? I was a great guy. You know, R.I.P. Tom Kenny. You know, there'll never be another one like him." It's like, I used to have to sweep the floors at the Krusty Krab.
I was so awesome. And then the few people that say bad things, you're like, "You bastard! I'm dead. How dare you?"
Don't you know that it's bad luck to speak ill of the dead?
So you are not only alive and well, but you have a "Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas" out, which we love.
We put that song out a little too late in the season last year because it was kind of intended to just be kind of a one-off thing for the cast and crew, and then Nickelodeon wound up putting it on this SpongeBob Greatest Hits album, but a little too late for the Christmas trade. So "Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas" is back on iTunes and is part of the SpongeBob's Greatest Hits album. So, you know, 99 cents, "Don't Be a Jerk."
And that wasn't the original title. I think we talked about that last time you were here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
"Don't Be a Bleep."
"It's Christmas."
We're getting an earlier start on the pimping this year. So,
Tom Kenny, one of my favorites, of course, is after Obama was elected, you did best day ever.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling today?
Man, you know, I'm starting to. Yeah, I know it's like God for two terms of W. I walked around for 8 years. I walked around feeling like I had a low grade fever, and now I'm starting to get that feeling again. You know,
and now you have a weeping orange boner. You know, and that's
well, you know, and you're just going, "Are you kidding me?" You're going, "Thank you, people of Kentucky." You know, so he stepped on a woman's neck. You know, big deal. You know, we're cool with that. So,
right. Yeah, what is your take on the midterms? You're politically plugged in.
Wow, I am just like, you know, is it laziness? Is it stupidity? Is it, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, everybody has these theories that it's, you know, this malaise and it's this, you know, government is not listening to us. And, like, you know, what does that mean?
I think Obama hasn't compromised enough. I think that's what it is.
I know. He needs a couple of hundred more olive branches.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more compromise.
An entire tree.
Yeah, he's been too much of a left-wing radical. It said that afro he grew and the power salute he does at every press conference. It's apparently scared people.
He's got to stop putting flowers in the barrels of the soldiers' guns. You know, it's not working.
we've been talking about, you know, what's next and how do you, because, you know, number one, it's not as bad as, you know, people have made it out to be. I mean, Clinton lost the House and the Senate, but I think it is time to regroup and reframe, don't you?
It is time to regroup and go, okay, we better figure this out because, you know, they are evil geniuses. Say what you want about them, but their evil geniusness is not in question.
Right.
I think they need a kick-ass.
And of course, that citizen Citizens United is oh so very helpful to us, huh?
Yeah. No, exactly. But and that's the thing is you go, wow, people bought the death panels. You know what I mean? I just they succeeded in scaring old people and scaring white people.
You say it enough times, and you know it's funny that the more sources of information there are out there, you think that would result in people pressing a button and maybe finding out a little bit more, but it really doesn't. It's just, you know, whoever says it earliest and loudest and most often wins the message war.
We got to get better at propaganda, clearly.
I think so. Exactly. We need a progressive Goebbels.
Yes, exactly.
I can do that. I'll step to the fore.
Which to the teabaggers is not an oxymoron, because I think liberals are.
Well, you know, Tom, I think the interesting thing I saw in the polling too, the exit polling, people hate Republicans too. This wasn't big vote for Republican policies. They just were sick of everything. They're scared about the economy. They're sick of everybody. They're like, you know, like we often do in this country. Let's try the other side, you know.
And there's also that they managed to have pulled off that genius trick where, you know, the owner of the mine is passing himself off as the miner's friend.
Right.
And it's pretty amazing, you know. Hey, foxes for chickens, you know.
Right. It's like, hey, we're the ones that got you out of the mine. It's like, well, you're the one that didn't put in safety measures that we were trapped in. Yeah.
And I agree with you that it's not as gloom and doom as you know, I'm definitely not ready to take it on the chin and lay down yet, but it is one of those things where you go, wow, you know, that three steps forward, two back, you know, it's like, man, it is a little disconcerting to watch those returns. And, of course, you know, my wife is going, it's 3 a.m., you got to be up in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, Tom Kenny, you are saying at this hour that you are not prepared to take it on the chin from teabaggers. Is that your...
Boy, I walked right into that one.
A little bit.
Tom Kenny, SpongeBob SquarePants, don't be a jerk, it's Christmas. It's only 99 cents. Don't be a jerk, buy it on iTunes.
Yes, exactly. Don't be a jerk, it's only the midterms.
Yes.
It's only the midterms. Tom, we love you. Come back anytime.
Love you, babe. Happy late birthday.
All right, thank you, sweetie. Yay. There he goes. SpongeBob. It was the best day ever.
I used to see Tom all the time, and I used to have a voiceover career.
Oh, stop. Jim Ward.
You're
smart and pretty, and I love you.
It's a little slow right now.
It's a little slow for everybody.
Very slow.
Jinx.
I have a friend in real estate, and it's like, woo, tumbleweeds through the office. It's a little slow.
Oh.
48 minutes after the, you can hear Joe Miller in some parts of the...
All the way from Alaska.
No, sorry, you still lost.
Saloon doors just flapping in the
48
wind.
Minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Comedian Louis Black joins us next hour. Only comedians can save us now.
Yep.
Hey, here's some breaking news on the polling. Why Republicans don't have a mandate to repeal health care reform. Exit polls show health care the second most important factor driving votes. 19%. It was distantly behind the economy at 62%. Half wanted the health care law repealed. The other half wanted it expanded.
Those are the people who understand what it is. The people who want it expanded.
Yes. All right. By the way, the president also talking about cap and trade.
Cap and trade was just one way of skinning the cat. It was not the only way. It was a means, not an end.
I hate that expression.
Skinning the cat. Yes, yeah. I know. Me too.
Well, yeah.
So, because that obviously, everybody has said, is dead, hopelessly stalled in the Senate. I mean, it is a little depressing what we might be able to get done at this point.
It's going to be a lot more watered down crap than we previously got.
Just when you thought it couldn't get more watery.
Yeah.
Chris from Yankton wrote about Obama finding consensus with the teetards. Harry S. Truman said it best, how many times do you need to get hit over the head with a board before you realize who's hitting you? Obama needs to brush up on his Harry Truman.
I think we should put a moratorium on the second half of that word. Teabaggers is fine, but we have lots of people with special needs, like kids, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Teabaggers. By the way, teabaggers makes them more insane.
Well,
trust me.
And believe I was finding that out last night.
They named themselves that until they found out what it means.
Oh, they hated when I pointed that out and sent them a link to that National Review article.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they hated that. Shut up.
All right.
You're socialist. No, they said you're drunk to me.
Well, they assume because you work with me. Molly in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mol.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your show. You keep me sane.
Oh, that compliment I never understand, since we have so tenuous a grasp on reality here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
What I wanted to say is I was listening to Mike Malloy last night, so you could sleep.
Now, that's where you go for sanity. That's I love Mike Malloy.
No, he was on fire last night.
His point exactly was in 1968, President Johnson gave a speech saying that he would not accept his country's nomination. And then he should, that Obama should do the same thing, because no matter which way he goes, he's going to lose. Everyone's saying he's a one-term president. So take this next 2 years, say he's not going to accept the nomination, and just get everything passed that he wants to get passed.
Yeah, the point is that they want to make him a one-term president. Okay, fine.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
I'll go with
that. At least we can all agree on something.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I'm going to get stuff done.
Yeah. Molly, can I say something? What do you call it? Mike Malloy, a sexy, sexy man in person. He really is. We love a passionate guy. He's just sexy. All right, I'm just saying. You know, there are some men that make me questioning.
You should see Chris's face, Lizzie, if you're listening.
I'm sure he's a great guy to hang around. I've never actually met him, but think he's sexy?
Yes, I do. Rob in Tallahassee, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie. You know what? I have something to kind of say, and I hate to sound condescending, but you know what? A lot of Americans are stupid because they believe this crap from Fox News Channel, and it showed in the election. So you know what?
Rob, all I'm saying is I don't think we win the argument or we win those people back by calling them stupid. I think it's like all you can do
There's no way of winning them back. I mean, they're...
But you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to start a movement and to call it the Revolution Party, the Party of the Truth, and to call Fox News for every single lie that they call out and bring these people back. Because we look at what this president has done over the last 21 months. You know, he had 8 years of crap that he had, and look at all the things that he has done that has helped move this country forward. But yet and still you hear, well, they spend too much. Well, who was it? The Republicans had, 13 trillion in debt, and only 1.9 of it is for, 1.7 and 1.8 is for President Obama. And the other 10 trillion goes to who?
Yeah.
The Republican Party.
Yeah.
So, but you know, they spend, they'll spend their tax, get a Democrat elected, and then what do they say? It's the Democrats that are doing it. Look at the deficit. Look at all the stuff that we're in. Wasn't it Dick Cheney that said deficits don't matter?
Yes, I think among other Republicans. Yeah, Reagan proved that. Yeah, that's what Reagan proved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how well trickle-down works.
Well, this is the, the Jude Waninsky thing, the two Santa Clauses. The idea is that when Republicans are in power, you spend like a drunken sailor. When Democrats come in and say, oh, no, we can't possibly, there's a deficit. Look at that.
By the way, George Bush says that he was a voice of dissent on the rec board in his new book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Wait. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Lewis Black and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes. This is the only cure for waking up with a weepy orange boner.
Yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show. You can email us all at the stephaniemiller.com.
Or a weepy orange boner.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as funny.
No. You can email us.
The orange part is the only part that's really disturbing.
You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. This is very exciting. First time. Big fan. We have a Lewis Black,
yay,
comedian extraordinaire, with us this morning. Hi, Lewis.
Hi.
How are we doing?
See, it's already funny.
Yeah. See? Hey, listen, you know, Fox always talks about the war on Christmas, and you actually are trying to kill Christmas. Your new book is I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas.
I'm not really trying to kill it. I'm just trying to let people know that it's more excruciating, and it's a holiday that needs to relax a little. It's really like got a dose of testosterone that's out of control. But I really do. I think it's a beautiful time of year, and I'm thrilled that I'm Jewish.
The book notes say you say humbug to the Christmas traditions. It's a very personal look at what's wrong with Christmas. What is wrong with Christmas, Lewis Black?
Well, it's just it's considering it's November 4th and we're already in our sixth week of it, and
yes.
We've still got another 6 weeks to go, and we haven't even gotten to Thanksgiving. And the insanely brutal, you better shop on that Friday, you little pig, or you are destroying America.
There is a lot of pressure surrounding Christmas. You're
there
right.
Really is. But really, what the book really ultimately is, and it's it's a book about being single disguised as a Christmas book.
Yes.
Right, right. Well, because Christmas is designed to make us feel like losers, those of us that are single.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have children, you're a bigger loser. You did nothing. You did nothing with your life. You're not upholding family values because you don't have a family.
Yes, and you're forced to watch It's a Wonderful Life over and over.
And over and over again, and then you think you're missing something.
Right, exactly.
You actually go see the people who have the lives, and you go, maybe I'm not.
You're like, you know, maybe I don't feel like putting together 75 toys on Christmas morning. What are your Christmas rituals?
My Christmas rituals, I like to wake up, I do what the kids call cutting. And I like to get a couple of deep swipes in. I wake up and I write checks to charity, so I actually feel like that's...
Well, that's good.
To me, the thing. Yeah, because it lets me feel like I'm a part of something.
Wow.
And I don't feel so alone and naked and ashamed.
For them, it's a Chinese food.
I can't believe I've said that.
The book describes your own eccentric experiences with the holiday. What are some of those eccentric Christmas memories?
I don't stay around at Thanksgiving. I get out of the country. Now that's the smartest thing a human being can do.
Yeah, Thanksgiving kind of sucks even worse, doesn't it? I mean, it's mostly about fighting with family members. And
oh yeah, and it's mostly about traumatizing your coronary system. And it's about Santa. It's really the eye of the hurricane of Christmas.
Yes, and it's also right after election season. So when you have, you know, when you come from mixed family like I do, it's always about fighting with your Republican relatives.
Oh yeah, no, the good thing is my relatives know better than to talk to me about anything.
You describe yourself, you're a socialist is how you describe yourself.
Yeah, I am. And that's when I get really, do you want to know what really irritates me?
What?
Is to listen to them talk about Obama being a socialist.
Right, yeah.
And not so much that it's bogus, but that, you know, he's not. I mean, there are 8 socialists left. And he's never come to one of our meetings. You want to see the Socialist Party, you got to go to a cemetery, you idiots.
Right.
And every time I talk to, I have Senator Bernie Sanders on, I'm like, that's what being, well, that sounds good. Yeah. Whatever, everything he says makes perfect sense.
Well, from the first time that I learned about it, seriously, when I was in high school, I went, no, that makes more sense to me.
Right.
And it always has, and I don't get it, and I don't understand. And whenever I'd have arguments with people, well, you're taking the motivational factor out. People really won't want to go to work. Really, schmuck? People won't want to fill their days with something, you putz? How do you – really? Nothing's happening in Sweden? They're all just lying around getting fat?
What, Louis, so how do you, what's your take on the midterms when, you know, you speaking of which, you know, the majority of Americans want single-payer healthcare, and yet somehow the Republicans succeeded in winning a bunch of seats based on...
Well, here's how they won it. I thought this yesterday. One of the comments made, one of the things, the observations, that 6 out of every 10 people who voted were against healthcare. Well, in the election before, I would imagine that 6 to 7 out of every 10 who voted wanted healthcare.
Right.
And then those who voted before got the health care and got it through, and then so they didn't go back to vote.
Right, right.
They didn't realize they might lose it.
Right, but when you know, speaking of which, when Bernie Sanders has told me, as he has on my show, this health care bill is a good bill. It's a good start. You know, and like you say, it's largely what people said they wanted. It does seem like, you know, the truth was one of the casualties in these midterms.
Well, I just think it's we are coming out. I think that we're coming out of us. About 10 years before the last last election, by the time we reached the last one before this one, we were in a total. It was as if America had had a stroke, and so then we elected a president, and everybody, the expectation was that he was going to do all these things. And I thought if he could just get us to be able to move like a couple of fingers on our right hand, I'd be ecstatic.
Right.
And so this is a reaction to the moving the fingers on the left hand, and now the right hand is going to try to move. It's like electroshock. I don't fear what's going on as much as everybody else does.
Why?
I think it's going to push us back to where we belong. It's not a place I like, but it's where we belong, which is the center.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, what the president kept trying to sell is you got to put it in D if you want to go forward. You put it in R if you want to go back. And somebody said, are we the United States of amnesia? And we were just talking before the break, Lewis, about President Bush's new book where he says, I was a dissenting voice on Iraq. What? I mean, who really, was it that long ago?
He's unbelievable.
He was pushing for it before he was in office.
Well, you know, that other quote that Kanye West was—that was the worst thing that happened during
yes.
the presidency.
Yes, he said it was disgusting that he was that we didn't find weapons of mass destruction, but he spent far more time on Kanye West. So it wasn't disgusting what actually happened during Hurricane Katrina. It was.
Well, yeah. He said that I actually believe he has no central nervous system, which is really what makes him an interesting president. He's the first president without a central nervous system. And it's because it's tough. It's tough for a brain to function.
Yes, exactly.
Without that. But he seemed to have managed, which was exciting.
It's hard to put food on your family.
Now, I have a question, because somebody during a course of, like I did about 10 or 12 of these interviews today, said that they did find weapons of mass destruction and that it's in that new WikiLeaks. Is that true?
No.
That's what I kept saying.
No, it's not.
That's what I can't, you know, I get, it just drives you nuts.
You'd think it would have made the papers if that had
happened. Well, you think that somebody, you know, I think that there should be a law that if somebody says something and they're saying that it's a fact and it's not a fact, that God should strike them down.
Yes.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Or at least they should provide footnotes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what we were saying is in this midterm, Lewis, it seems like the facts were, again, some of the other casualties. I mean, seniors, in large numbers went for Republicans, and it seems like they bought these death panels and God knows whatever other lies were out there about
it. Yeah, well, the problem is we're at a moment of a great change in the sense of the lots of things, our economy, the demographic, everything. I mean, we're in the midst of a sweeping social change, which, unlike any other time, is actually a real change. Our economy is going to change. The demographic is going to change. These things are happening, and it's freaking them out.
Well,
and then you get a group of people who come in and go, well, you know, if I just do, I'm going to do this, and what we're going to do is cut entitlements, and we're going to swing around, we're not going to tax anybody anymore, and we're going to all sell fudge. I mean, I don't know what I'm serious. It's not only a lack of the facts, it was a lack of, what is it you're going to do?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and that's the thing that you have to say. I not to put too indelicate a point on it, but those people will be dead soon. You know,
yeah, well, that's
if you go younger and younger in polling, I mean, whether it's gay rights or a lot of other issues that, you know, certainly a lot of progressives are behind, you know, you just think it's inevitable.
Well, I've said it on stage before. You know, if you don't want to do that, that's fine with me because I'm going to be dead. So good luck.
Good luck. What else can we expect in I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas?
Basically, you can expect that those of you who are single, I think, can take a great deal of comfort in it, and a lot of the book was written in part to say that I think that I think family is great and it's a wonderful thing, and I certainly feel that I admire people who have it, but that I think that being single, you're treated as if you're a second class citizen, and there is an inordinate amount of pressure on single people that somehow they should get married. And what's truly extraordinary is that I hang out at college campus. I wrote a chunk of it at Chapel Hill. I write down there. I have a place that I stay at down
love
there.
Love Chapel Hill. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know a bunch of the college students there and hang around in the community, and their whole drive, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed since I went to school. They may have different attitudes and they may look at things differently than a different perspective, but when it comes to marriage, they are hell bent to get married.
Yeah, well, when you're watching It's a Wonderful Life this year, focus on how irritating the youngest child's voice is. And think about if you really want to rerun that 24/7. It's all focus on the negative, like Lewis Black does, and and you'll be all right. Lewis Black, the book is I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas. What a pleasure. Big fan. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad we finally got together. Thank you.
Me too. All right, there he goes, Lewis Black, everybody. Comedian.
Always look on the bright side of life.
What was that one rant he did on The Daily Show that was so friggin' hilarious? I have to Google it right now.
Every single one is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. There was one in particular. I'll think of it. All right. You know what? I'll have a go-to meeting with you two later. And
sweet!
I will show it to you on your desktop, because that's what you can do. I can take control of your desktop. That's what you have to meet with clients and colleagues. Business travel. Hate it. Here's what you do. You use GoToMeeting. Just $49. That's a flat monthly rate for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voiceover IP and phone conferencing is included free. So do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. It's the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. One click. There you are. Sales presentation, training session, product demo.
Holy cow.
You're knee-deep in Lewis Black YouTube videos.
Wherever you go,
right from your desk. I've used GoToMeeting here. We use it nearly every day, particularly when I was in New York.
Yeah,
right?
I used it to show you that Urza Klein article this morning.
I think it's Urza Klein.
I used it to show you how you could bite me. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. There must be someone you want to bite you. Please, get a month of unlimited online meetings free for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, use the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24. Hey, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, who said I was a dissenting voice on Iraq? I didn't want to use force. I think it's clear in the book that I gave diplomacy every chance to work.
Who said that? Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Good guess, though. That's a good guess. No, President Bush.
Oh, huh.
I think probably the book is the only place that it's clear. Certainly wasn't clear to anybody anywhere in the world that he gave diplomacy.
In the real world, yeah.
Yes, in the book it's clear because he wrote it down. And so it's clear in there because you can read it clearly that that's what he wrote.
Wow.
Okay.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I didn't want to invade Poland. They made me do it. All those dead people at the radio station, didn't you see it?
I got your decision point ready. All right, that's the name of his book, see, Decision Point.
Decision Point. Because
He's the decider.
Sounds
remember?
Like Commando Eagle.
Okay, speaking of the presidency, the president, of course, often criticized for being detached and aloof and whatever. He addressed that yesterday.
I'm the decider.
He said, when I'm out of this place, that's not an issue. When you're in this place, it's hard not to seem removed. How? You're the president. Of course you seem like you're not. You have to ride in a special car and a special plane. I've never gotten that.
And live in a special house.
Never gotten that criticism. He seems so removed. Well, he is removed, for God's sake.
He has to be.
All right. The president said he saw a possibility. Oh, dear, please, God. Congress might agree to overturn.
No.
Don't ask, don't tell. In the lame duck session, he said no one party will be able to dictate where we go from here.
That's the only hope we have is that one party, the Democrats, will dictate where we go from here during the lame duck session. There's not,
You know, can I just say one of the people I will not be sad to see go are the conservatives, like Evan Bay.
Yeah.
He argued Democrats overinterpreted their mandate, claiming the country.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Claiming the country did not want a progressive agenda. He complains Democrats went too far in pursuing their health care plan, and they catered too much to their most zealous supporters in trying to allow gays
in
the military.
You mean the professional left?
Change our immigration system, repeal the Bush-era tax cut. Hey, here are some fun facts, Evan Bay. One of the major reasons why... 70, I've cited these polls all morning, but 75% of Americans support overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell. ABC News poll, nearly 60% support comprehensive immigration reform. Nearly 60% support repealing the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. CBS News poll, only 21% of Americans rank the deficit as their top concern. Americans want public investment in economy. They would rather have the federal government provide more services, even if it costs more in taxes. Americans think the health care law did too little to change the system, not too much. June 2009 CBS poll, 72% of Americans wanted a public option in the health care bill. Americans want a defense budget to be the first that is cut. Americans want to protect Social Security. Americans want disclosure and campaign finance reform. On every issue, they agree.
They're just the professional left. Why listen to them? We need consensus.
You know what, though?
We need to reach out.
I have a feeling Joe Manchin of West Virginia is going to be exactly like Evan Bay was.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He ran to the right of just about everybody, yet still called himself a Democrat.
Yeah. The weepy orange boner.
Creating jobs, cutting spending, and reforming the way Congress does its business.
Huh. Really? Yeah, apparently this was an anti-Washington vote, and apparently he's been somewhere. Apparently he was just green-screened.
Yes.
He wasn't. Right. He hasn't been in Washington all this time.
I never go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's a madhouse there.
Uh-huh. We're humbled by the trust that the American people have placed in us. And as I said last night, our job is to listen to the American people and follow the will of the American people.
When are you going to start that?
Yeah, when will that be starting? Anytime. And that's the thing I keep saying in the polling, too, Jim. People hate Republicans just as much. This was not some big endorsement of Republican policies. It was people being sick of everybody and everything and going, look, you know, try to do something. Try to work together. And my panties are in a bit of a twist today.
You're in a state.
Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at that.
Stephanie Miller.
So young and live. Look at the shape of that body.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Richard in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Called the boner. Hi, Richard. Hello, Richard. Richard going once. He called the boner's office. Oh, well, much for that story. Let's go to Mary in San Francisco on the boner as well. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say twofold. One is the most relieved person right now is Miss O'Donnell, who is so pleased that she didn't actually win, because that would have been a total disaster for her financially. And that was never an intention, I don't
Although Fox News has said that they have no plans to hire her.
Yeah.
I know,
dear.
She's a professional candidate. She can run again.
That's true.
And just keep it going and going.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that when Boner says that he wants to listen to the American people, make no mistake, he wants to listen to the American people who happen to be in the top 1%, and also any corporate CEOs that happen to be American as well.
Yeah.
That's the Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What did she blame? Oh, Republican cannibalism.
Yes.
For her loss.
Mm-hmm.
Republican cannibals ate her brain, is that it?
Something like that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cannibals don't like witches, though. They're kind of chewy, stringy.
Yeah. A little stringy.
And a little bitter.
Very bitter.
All right.
She still thinks she won, though.
Yeah.
So we heard her so-called concession speech.
Has Carly Fiorina conceded yet or no?
No.
Bitter much? Okay. Bitter. Party won. All right.
Oh, maybe she go to China with all the jobs.
Mm. All right. The headline, House Republicans still can't name any programs they would cut to pay for Bush tax cuts.
Discretionary spending.
How's that smaller government thing going for
you
so far?
Discretionary spending.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's their only... That's all they say when they're asked
anything
that question.
Anything that's not military or tax cuts for billionaires, that has to go.
Someone on MSNBC was saying, well, defense is discretionary spending. Would you cut that? And Marsha Blackburn was like, just discretionary spending.
Yeah, I love this headline. Boehner now has the toughest job in Washington. No wonder he's crying. Here's the flip side to what happened on Election Day. Boehner now has the toughest job in Washington. That's because the epic wave of voter discontent enabling the GOP to regain majority control of the House wasn't an endorsement, as I've been saying all morning, of Republican policies. Rather, Tuesday's votes were largely a referendum against Washington and the politics of the status quo.
Washington.
While the GOP benefited from widespread disillusion, voters remain just as unhappy with Republicans as they are with Democrats, telling exit poll interviewers they view both parties with almost equal disgust.
Washington, never heard of the place. I've never been there myself. I hear it's a bad... I've been hanging out in the tavern doing a job.
How seriously do you stand there and say he called the election results a repudiation of Washington? What? Where the hell have you been for how many...
Yeah.
How many years has he been there? I love that the guy that's been the major problem, people think is the solution now. Oh, okay. Magically, he's... Yeah, according to exit polls, voters were driven by worries about the economy, anxiety about rising unemployment numbers at general field, and the fear the nation won't pull itself out of the hole anytime soon. By the way, just yesterday, I happened to see, I can't remember what the exact numbers, but were better than expected. Unemployment numbers, there was growth in some sector that I'm like, oh.
I don't think it was unemployment numbers. Those come out on Fridays.
No, I'll find it.
Okay.
I'll find it, but I was just like, yes, exactly, because we're going in the right direction. Unlike the pressure Obama began feeling shortly after he was sworn in 2 years ago, the article says voters are now putting their expectations on Republicans to fix the country's problems.
Let's see what you got. Sure.
Yes. So, while Republicans took back control of the House, the party's governing majority, not big enough to constitute a clear policy mandate, Republicans and Democrats now face the choice of either finding areas of compromise or sticking with a stalemate that has soured voters on Washington. So, in some weird way, we are in this together now. And here's the other thing that's going to be interesting to watch that we've been talking about. Two leading Tea Party leaders, Sarah Palin and Jim DeMint, insisted the election results were more an argument against compromise than a case for working with Democrats. So this is the other thing, is they've got the Tea Party threatening them to not compromise at all on anything. The GOP has to understand that machine has to understand that we're not sending Republicans to D.C. to sing kumbaya with Obama, said Palin. We're sending them to stop Obama. Voters expecting Republicans, though, to deliver on their promise to improve the economy and change Washington in the aftermath of this nasty election season. They'll be looking to the Boehner to lead the new batch of House Republicans down a path of workable consensus. So good luck with all that, Boehner.
There's an article in the Nation called Mama Grizzly's Die Hard. You should really read the response to it by T. Beckard. Radical leftists like Reed don't understand the transformation that's occurring. Real conservatives are taking back both the Nation and the Republican Party. We'll continue purging moderate and liberal Republicans over the next 2-3 elections.
Only 37% of Palin's endorsements won on Tuesday. What the hell
landslide.
Are they talking about that it was a landslide?
Yeah, exactly. Where is that Tea Party tidal wave? What did John Stewart say? You do get that all the analogies you're using are things that kill people.
Kill thousands of people.
Tsunami.
Tidal wave, hurricane, earthquake. Yeah.
Where is it? Yeah, hello, Joe Miller. Hello, Sharon Engel. Hello, Christine O'Donnell.
Carl
Palladino. Ken Buck.
Yep. All of those people are
two words for you, V and Vi. The Boehner.
We're going to continue and renew our efforts for a smaller, less costly, and more accountable government here in Washington, D.C.
Where I haven't been at all. No, so thank God you voted against Washington.
I'm just visiting. I had nothing to do with this place.
Senator Mitch, you know what?
Don't even find it on a map.
Can I just revise? I know it sounds better to say Senator Mitch McChinless, but really, the lip is the problem. Did you see him yesterday?
He doesn't have an upper lip.
Well, he doesn't have one, and also it doesn't move. Whatever's there under his nose doesn't move at all, which is just very odd visually.
Maybe he had Botox there.
There was a tragic farming incident.
And if there was, we apologize here at the Stephanie Miller Show for making fun.
Maybe while crossing a stream, he hit his lip and it moved.
And I don't know whether it's just the magnified glasses, but he does always look startled, like something has just happened to his lip. Like it's not some past thing. It's something like, you know, that someone just hit him with a 2x4 or something. And he's just like, oh, my God.
Turtles often look startled.
Mitch McChinn.
Work with us on things like spending and debt and trade agreements and nuclear power and clean coal technology and other things the president has said that he's for.
Clean coal.
That most of my members are for.
There's no such thing as clean coal.
And the jumbo shrimp amendment as well. Mitch McChinn, listen.
I anticipate enough Democrats to come in our direction on spending and debt to where we can actually make progress for the American people.
I anticipate my upper lip actually getting some feeling back at some point.
Maybe the dentist missed with the Novocaine.
That could be it.
We're helpers. We're trying to figure out a solution.
Exactly.
Yeah, Novocaine went straight to my brain and my lip. I can't. Oh.
Okay. Eric Cantor.
Last night's results are indicative that people in this country just are outright rejecting the agenda of the Obama administration.
No.
It isn't necessarily a vote of confidence for Republican leadership.
Thank you.
Well,
it's a glimmer of truth.
You said something true.
What do you know?
That's shocking.
What do you know? Okay, let's go to Ross in San Francisco. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
Hello.
I love you, Mama.
I love you back.
And I love me my Louis Black as well. And were you thinking of the Nazi Tourette's thing from the Daily Show that he did, the bit that you were trying to
recall? Oh, yes, yes,
that
yes.
That was too much. It was hysterical. So speaking of the Daily Show, Jon Stewart says last night that MSNBC is making a mistake in speaking with their Fox News Sunday correspondent that to try to get our message out, we should not pattern ourselves on Fox. So how are we supposed to get our message out, I ask?
Yeah, that's why I was saying I agree with a lot of Keith Thoberman's comments on this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Jim is talking today about compromise. How do you compromise further?
No,
that's all the president has done is tried to compromise.
Oh, absolutely. It's through the looking glass. It's like, but then with Jon Stewart saying that, we shouldn't, how do we respond to these people then? Or where do we respond?
CNN. Where everything's equal on both sides.
Where
it's
we
all
always
the same.
Have to leave it
we'll
there.
We'll have to leave it there.
But I haven't sent anything yet, Wolf.
We'll have to leave it there.
There's
two sides to every issue. We'll have to leave it on the big right-wing lie. While I don't point
we'll
out it's
right
a lie. And then we
this.
Go to a commercial break. Goodbye. Yes, Chris?
I have an update on Curly Fiorina.
Oh, do you now? Where is Al Cowling driven her now in the white Bronco?
She conceded yesterday morning.
Oh!
Very quietly, apparently. And now, the rest of the
story. It was laced with obscenities, so they couldn't air it.
Julia in Wisconsin. Hello, Julia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling to give you the scoop on that filibuster reform.
Yes.
The filibuster is a Senate rule, and as such, the only time you can change the Senate rules is at the beginning of a new Congress. Good news is you can't filibuster the Senate rules.
So once again, for Democrats, too little, too late.
Yep. No, they can still do it. They've got a majority. They can change the rules on January whatever.
But you're talking about the lame duck or the new?
No, new Congress.
The new Congress in January.
Right.
They
the
have
Senate.
More than
we
50.
Still have,
yeah. They have the vice president.
We have 51.
They only need 51 votes to change the rules.
So they can change the rules, yes.
Good.
Interesting. All right.
But will they?
Yes.
Oh, no, we have to be even-handed and fair.
Well, tools can be useful for
that's
either
true.
Side.
Right.
And so that's why they're so reticent to
but
take away
about
tools.
John Boehner again.
That's why they're reticent to take away some tools that they might need sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, exactly. That was my point earlier. Yeah. Okay, Randall in Buffalo real quick. Hi, Randall. Hello, Randall.
Hey, I have two major criticisms of my president that I love dearly. The first one started with Max Baucus, the big jerk. There was blood in the water back then with Max Baucus, and Obama just continued to fade into the distance and do nothing. That was a time for Obama to step up and lead. The second thing is, I've been calling...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why we're saying, like, what the message is to compromise more when, you know, a lot of people feel like we compromised away, you know, a lot that could have been, more that could have been done on healthcare at least.
Max Baucus drew first blood, and that was, what, 18 months ago, and it went downhill from there. And then over the last several months, you know, 8 months, Obama keeps saying, you know, that legislation was blocked in the Senate, or, you know, it didn't pass the Senate. Instead of saying, you know, calling a news conference and saying, you know, Jim DeMint blocked your, you know, unemployment benefits. The Republicans are blocking small business tax reform, you know, tax breaks. You know, he didn't say that. He kept just saying, oh, it's just blocked in the Senate. As though it's both parties' fault. See?
Yeah. We'll have to
leave
it there.
He didn't say the Democrats who are trying to get it passed. The Republicans are blocking.
Right.
He didn't say that.
And that's why we have a PR problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. And we'll see once they, you know, shut the government down or, you know, when the Social Security checks stop coming, how the older white voters are going to feel.
If only the professional left of this shut up.
Check?
Yeah.
46 minutes. I don't mean to mock old people. I mean to mock just the old people that voted against their own self-interest.
Has there ever been a caucus?
I wonder. I don't think so. 46 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the kind of mind-numbing schlock that's turning our society into a cultural wasteland.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. All that matters is the only shooting stars break the mold.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour.
I just watched Louis Black, Glenn Beck as Nazi Tourette's on YouTube.
Hilarious. We just had Glenn Beck, or excuse me, we just had Louis Black on this morning. If you missed that interview, it'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show tomorrow. Fridays with Fuglesang. Mm-hmm. John Fuglesang joins us for all 3 hours.
And also, the bits are available for subscription on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes, the iTunes store, and just search Stephanie Miller, you can subscribe to all of the bits that we have, and it'll be automatically downloaded into your iPod or whatever every single day.
By the way, speaking of Jon Stewart and Daily Show, did you see the Fox and Friends mocking the rally for sanity? They said, among other things, Stewart looks like all fancy in a suit like he's a real news person. He's way more of a real news person than anybody on Fox Network will ever be. Yeah, look at him. He has a suit on. All right. Oh, by the way, Chris, you were right about the Sarah Palin fun facts. The Palin effect?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She endorsed 60 candidates. Of the 34 candidates she endorsed for the House, only 15 won.
Yeah.
Let's get your Palin effect.
It's political saltpeter.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, Charles Krauthammer.
Yeah.
On the Brick Burr.
Burr Burr.
When he was asked about... three times at the beginning of the press conference, do you think people were repudiating you or voting against Obama, the health care plan? And he acted as if he was being questioned about the natural order of stuff, as if the reporters were questioning the elliptical orbit of the planets. He couldn't understand how anybody could not see the beneficence of health care reform.
Well, that's a big PR problem, because they... Liberals always make that mistake. They assume it's self-evident, all the great things they're doing, but you got to spell it out for people.
No, I guess people do want to be discriminated against for pre-existing conditions and get dropped from their insurance and have their kids thrown off. Okay. All right. And by the way, the president didn't act. He answered the question.
Yes, he did.
Fox spin. What the fox? Three is Steve Hayes on the Rip Bear.
The idea that he's saying now that he's open to compromise. You know the other thing he said? He said he's willing to talk to Republicans or consider what they're proposing if they have any ideas. Really? Does he really think that Republicans don't have any ideas after 2 years of having this debate?
Yes,
since
obviously.
They haven't offered any.
Their only idea is no.
Right.
You can't do that. That's their idea.
Does he seriously think that? Why would he think that? That's crazy.
Like they suddenly have, we did have ideas. Right. We just weren't going to tell you before.
Yeah, they have these great secret plans, but yeah.
All right, Glenn Beck on the TV.
The progressives of the world view the top 1%.
Yes.
Well, we're the
We're the ones that are we're the oppressors. They need to take it. Your money, the money in your bank account,
it's called taxation.
Is intentionally being destroyed. It is being devalued. And the rich are getting richer. This is the biggest heist in human history.
Oh, my God.
And it is happening while we're at the theater.
Tax rates were 90% during the Eisenhower administration, you Nimrod.
My God.
I fear for Jim's blood pressure that I'm giving him a double dose of Novak today. I'm sorry.
What the hell is wrong with you, California?
Jerry Brown, I would like today, could you just find out, protocol and everything else, because I don't want to do anything to desecrate the flag, but I would like to cut the California star off the flag today.
Yeah, so why did Meg Whitman want to move to California 30 years ago when everything was so great, when the business climate was so... Oh, Jerry Brown was governor!
Yeah!
Yep, time to
I'm not sure on
star.
Flag etiquette, but let me ask Senator Barbara Boxer what she thinks about that as well, my good friend.
Senator Barbara Boxer.
Senator. Oh, did I mention that?
Yeah, she's a senator.
Current and future senator.
That's right.
Barbara Boxer.
Senator and senator-elect Boxer.
Yes. And current and...
By the way, I hear I missed...
douchebag Glenn Beck.
I heard I missed the party of the century. I was invited to her VIP box election night. Dianne Feinstein, the senator, was there. Lily Tomlin and I was home asleep on my couch. I am a loser.
Maybe if you hadn't had three bottles of wine before...
I did not have three bottles.
Only two.
Mike... I'm sure Barbara Boxer would have much preferred I was there slobbering drunkenly on her big night.
This is great.
Yeah, great.
I love
that would have been funny if I could have gone in the back of her victory speech. Happy Box, Z-Rock! Woo! Everyone would have been like, oh,
you need help.
I just knew you were going to... You're going to... Oh, boy.
Since the matron sang, the 7 minutes... Mike Huckabee on Kabuto.
You know, I think that people are really deciding that they're going to challenge legally the
right that someone has to force them to buy it.
Right. It's the equivalent, if you will, of a poll tax. You know, that was declared unconstitutional when people were required to pay a poll tax in order to vote because, essence, it's being argued that this is sort of like the 21st century equivalent of a poll tax.
It is not!
Argued by whom?
To be fully vested as a citizen and not be fined. And that's the tough word. You've broken the law if you don't buy this product.
Yes, you're right. It should have been health care for all. Should have been socialist, single-payer health care for all. Not a stop to the insurance companies. But you should be happy about it.
It's exactly like black voter suppression. That's exactly what it's like.
Ass.
Okay.
It's considerable ass. It's
all right.
Getting assier by the day.
Obama is a failure.
Okay.
Last night's elections, yesterday's elections... put the exclamation point to it. He was on the agenda. His agenda was on the ballot. He said so. Obama is a failure. This is no longer one man's prophecy. This is no longer my opinion. It's no longer my expressed desire. It's a fact.
Okay.
Because he's too much a lefty socialist commie.
Yes. All right. Well, you wait there, Russ. Okay. You just wait and we'll just see how that all goes.
That's why the professional left are angry at him, because he was too far to the left.
Hey, quick celebrities back. John Bon Jovi says he's bored, overweight, and drinking too much.
Wow.
It's like every night to me. What's wrong with that?
And his brother Urza agreed.
Josh!
Oh, she's getting touchy about that now.
That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. I love pulling out old holiday photos this time of year. Just the other night, I was looking at some from last year. I look happy and confident thanks to Ovation Cell Therapy. I've been using Ovation Cell Therapy for almost 2 years now, and it has made my hair thick and shiny. It looks great in those holiday photos on TV, wherever I go. You know people pull those photos out for years, and you need to be looking good. So start the Ovation Hair Maximizing System now. You'll see the difference after just a few uses, just in time for this year's holiday photos. The Ovation Cell Therapy is a cream rinse type application that strengthens your hair and makes it more shiny, helps your hair grow faster. Ovation Cell Therapy, 100% guaranteed or you get your money back. Stop that breakage, restore dry, brittle, or damaged hair guaranteed. Ovation Cell Therapy is not just a holiday miracle.